The music stops, and thus we
begin. Hey, longest, you know, how serendipitous for the guests we have today. I mean, play it, let's get it on Friday morning, right? Or afternoon, I don't know what the hell's going on. I got a new clothes that I need to figure out where to tattoo. I got a lot of things going on here.
So,
oh my gosh. William, how the hell are you? I have no idea. Hey, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, Nisha coming to five every day. And we've got to get to our guest because he is freaking brilliant. So let's get on it. Joe Gerson, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it is just good to hear your voice, my friend. So, if you would introduce yourself to our millions of listeners, and then we'll get into what's going on in your world.
Yeah. So my name is Joe Gerstanz, and I am part of the Talent Anarchy Duo. That's kind of the role that I'm here in today to talk about some of the stuff that we're working on, but. With Jason Lawrence, and I do speaking and some consulting and training, and we've written a book and do some other cool stuff. So.
Well, Joe, we wanted to talk a little bit about the Frontier Project today. And so normally we would ask you what's keeping you up at night and all that bit, but we really want to spend as much time as we can talking about the Frontier Project. So let's start with the generic, the general, the widest possible swath of the who, the what, the when, the where, the why. Like, break it down. What is the Frontier Project?
So the Frontier Project is a very cool event that we are putting on. We are hosting in May. And as far as the details go, all of the details can be found on our website, talentanarchy.com. There's a page on there specifically with information about the Frontier Project. I have multiple strains of attention deficit disorder and a little bipolar, so I'm not to be trusted when it comes to details, but it's a two-day event taking place in May. We are hosting it in Omaha, Nebraska, and it is a collaborative process, a facilitated process to help us think about what the future of human resources work looks like. Jason and I believe that there is a pretty big opportunity before us to change the way that we do the human aspects of work, of business, in some fundamental and far-reaching ways. And I think there's a lot of people in agreement with that, and this is an event to help us actually get kind of explicit and specific with what that looks like. So it's not a conference in any way. It's a facilitated process that 40 or 50 or 60 brave, courageous folks are going to go through and help us kind of paint a picture for what HR could and should look like in the future.
And you've led these kind of structured, unstructured kind of events and conversations before. What's fun about that for you? What's challenging about that for you?
Yeah, so we use a specific methodology. We use something called accelerated decision making. And 7, 8, 9 years ago, I had the opportunity to work with a couple of guys in Silicon Valley that designed and facilitated decision accelerators for companies. And I helped them do some work with a healthcare system. Accelerated decision making is a format or a process to accelerate the decision making process. So when you're trying to develop a new product, when you're trying to solve something, when you're trying to develop a plan, rather than putting a group of people together that meets, you know, once a week or once a month for 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, what we do is we put a bunch of stakeholders in a room for a couple of days, and we put them through a pretty intense facilitated process. And at the end of that 2 days, we have a product or a plan or a decision. And so it's got some constraints and some facilitation to it. I really like it. It's a pretty energizing process. It always delivers really good outcomes. The first probably third of the process is about ideation. It's about considering as many ideas as possible. And we try to push people in a lot of different directions, and we try to think big. And that's one of the harder parts as a facilitator, because what you oftentimes have is you have a group of really smart people, and they're really good at talking about what they know, and they're not so good at talking about the stuff that they don't know. And at the front end of that process, we really want to be talking and thinking about the stuff that we don't know. We want to think about what the future might be like. A lot of times we'll sit down with folks, and you know, we'll put folks in groups of 10 or 12 and ask them to think about, you know, how might this aspect of work look, or how might HR look in 10 years? Tell me how it's going to be different. And sometimes those folks will say, well, you know, we don't think a lot's going to be different in 10 years. 10 years goes by pretty fast. We think these, you know, trends will continue, but we don't think that a lot is going to be different. And we've got to really go back and push on those folks and say, you know, are you effing kidding me? I mean, think about the stuff that's changed in the last 10 years, 10 or 15 or 20 years. A lot of things can change, and we don't really know that much about what's realistic for the future. So the front part of that process is really about making people think and wonder and ponder about the future and think about things that might be different. So we kind of inform the process with a lot of ideas and information up front. And then the middle third is more conversations and exercises focused on kind of sorting through that stuff and trying to identify, you know, two or three or four key themes or ideas or opportunities to focus on. And then the final third is about really kind of rallying around those two or three or four things and getting specific and explicit and realistic with, not only do we think these things are going to show up 10 or 20 years down the road for now, but also starting to think about what does that mean to us today? Because this process should be very actionable. It is about the future, but we want people, both people that are there and people that aren't there, to be able to look at this and say, this is how I can go be a part of making that happen today. We want this to be incredibly, incredibly actionable. So I like it. I like it that it's, I like the process, and that it's, you know, it's not a conference. There's not any presentations or experts or anything like that. It's people doing work together. And, you know, Jason and I know from experience that when you design a robust process and then you invite people into that process, people with big hearts and big brains, big ideas and a little bit of attitude, you invite them into that process and push on them a little bit, that pretty magical stuff comes out the other end of that. We've done things like this a number of times over the past decade, and the results are always pretty significant. So we're excited about it. We think this is an opportunity to kind of add to the evolution of this body of work, and we care about this craft and its future. So we're pretty excited about it. We're pretty excited about the group of folks that are coming together around it.
Nice. The future, as you're thinking of it, how far out do you think is realistic? Are you thinking in your mind 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years? Like what is the definition of quote unquote the future of HR?
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't, you know, finalized the agenda. I don't know that we've put those specific questions in place. I think a lot of times when we're at least asking people to start thinking about the future, a lot of times we play with 15 and 20 years, where we'll kind of settle on for this particular process. I don't know, but I think sometimes if we go less than 15 years, people do get stuck in that attitude that, you know, I don't think a whole lot will change in 10 years. 15 or 20 years is maybe far enough down the road that people are willing to kind of step out of what they know about today and think kind of big and crazy. You know, we know that first part is working well when people are talking about some things that don't really make sense, because I think we've got to be talking, we've got to get away from what we know is realistic for today. And so whatever it takes to get people to really think big and crazy about the future, that's what we try to do. So.
Well, you know, Joe, you could make money in any number of 1,000 different ways. You choose to make money in some ways in efforts like this, getting people to think, etc. Take us into what you get out of something like the Frontier Project.
I enjoy designing processes, social processes, and facilitating them. It's a very different thing than presenting. Facilitating is, so I enjoy the process. And I also like being involved in conversations about the future. I always have. And like I said, Jason and I both we found our way into this body of work of HR and management, and we care about it, and we care about its future. We want to be a part of that conversation. You know, it's easy and fun to talk about what's wrong with business and management and HR today. You know, we've done a great deal of that, and it's fun, and we can have a good time doing that. But at some point in time, you know, we need to start saying, well, what is it going to be? What is it going to be next? We need to, and we're not going to figure everything out, but we're going to put, you know, a prototype out there. We're going to, you know, make a case for this is how we do a better job with the human components of work. We think that work can be a lot better for a lot of people, and we think that it can be better in ways that benefit both the individual and the organization. And I think that's a pretty big deal and a pretty cool opportunity, and we want to be a part of kind of drawing that map.
Nice. Let's talk a little bit about the participants. You said 40 to 50 people, Omaha, May. There's a lot of things kind of lining up there for me. What's the type of person that you'd like to have in Omaha in May for the Frontier Project?
Yeah, I think this is of interest and of value to really anybody that's interested in the future of business. This is obviously focused on the human component of business, but I think anyone interested in the future of business will find something here. It's really designed for the HR leader that's in their organization, that's got their head down and their shoulder into their work, and they're busting their ass trying to drive change in their organization. And they probably don't have a lot of time to get to conferences, and they probably don't spend a lot of time in the blogosphere, but they're really on the bleeding edge of changing the way that we do this work. I think that's who it's designed for. I think that's the ideal person. And so we're hopefully going to bring as many of those folks into this as well. I'm sure there will be a lot of external folks. I would be surprised if it doesn't end up being a third to a half of, you know, more external folks, consultants, and vendors, and that's fine as well. But I think it's designed for that person that is really trying new things and pushing new things and wants to be around other people that are thinking and working with some of the same stuff. And so I think there'll be a great social capital component of it as well. And we're excited about doing it in Omaha. You know, we're in Omaha, and we love the city, and we like to introduce people to the city. And I think it's a city that is a little bit different than a lot of people think that it is. And I think in the HR human capital space, there's a little something in the water in Omaha. Jason and I are both in Omaha. We kind of found our way to HR work here. Maren is in Omaha, and she is, you know, Maren Hogan is a raving lunatic and a genius woman. She's here. Greg Harris and the Quantum Workplace folks are in Omaha. They do wonderful work. They're one of the sponsors of this event. The Bellevue Human Capital Lab is here. Gallup has one of their crazy factories in Omaha. So there's cool things. There's some awesome sauce being made in Omaha, and we would like to, you know, invite people to Omaha so that they can taste our awesome sauce. That is maybe the unofficial tagline of the Frontier Project.
Nice. Well, one of the things that's tough for practitioners, taking off work, travel budget, training budget, you know, all the complexities of navigating the work politic, and getting off to then go. Because I don't think if there's anybody that's listening, they're already compelled by, they've seen you speak, they've read your book, all of that tough type stuff. So I think the only thing would be it's right around the corner, and maybe they don't have budget to get there, et cetera. Is there a way to work with vendors and insofar as maybe vendors sponsoring people to then go to this event? Have y'all thought about that? Is that something that y'all would like to do? And or what's your thoughts on, you know, people that are struggling, wanting to go, desiring to go, and either not having the budget or the time to go, et cetera?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is understanding the value of this event. This is, I think, you know, one of the things, because it's a unique event, because most people haven't been through something like this before, they aren't sure what to expect, they aren't sure what to compare it to, and so I think they tend to view it as another conference kind of event. And I think it's important to keep in mind that this is very much not a conference, and that the value is going to take different forms. You're going to meet some different people. You're going to hear some different things. Some of that will happen at conferences as well. But you're really going to be actively engaged in helping to create the future of this work. And one of the things that we're going to be very intentional about is capturing as much of this experience as possible so that people can take it back with them. This is something that people are going to take with them and we're going to be able to share with the world because, you know, we're going to capture video and we're going to capture, you know, what the conversations are about and we're going to capture the outcomes of that. We're probably going to have a graphic facilitator. So there's going to be multiple ways in which we capture the experience and give folks, I don't know what form it's going to take yet. It's probably going to be multimedia, but they're going to have an experience that they're going to be able to take back with them and share with their organization. They're going to be able to continue to be involved in this work moving forward, and I think continue to be connected to other folks in this work on a larger scale. So I think there's a number of things about this that make this unique and valuable in different ways. So I think it is a good investment. I think that the people in the organizations that invest in this are going to get a significant return on their investment. We haven't really talked about ways to connect vendors to folks that are maybe looking for some financial support. I don't think we'd be opposed to it. That's not something that we've spent time talking or thinking about. But I think if there's folks that want to be a part of this and are having a hard time making it work, I think we're open to anything to make that happen. So,
yeah, if it's in your heart and you want to get to Omaha, and this is kind of like the what is it, Constitutional Congress? You know, people are coming from all over the country.
Yeah,
you know, however you got to get there, etc.
Yeah.
I can't help but think that there's a bunch of vendors out there that would love. I mean, behind the scenes, vendors sponsor people, bloggers, to go to conferences all the time. And I know that this isn't a conference. This is in some ways more important than a conference. So I can't help but think that if the vendor community even knew that this was going on and could be a part of it, I can't help but think that they would love to sponsor people. If you've got the desire to be there, I think you need to raise your hand. If you're out there listening, if you have the desire to be there and for whatever reason it's just really tough for you, I think there's just a way to get you there. And vendors being one of them, of course. Let me ask you about all the things that you do in speaking, Ignite HR, in a book, and, you know, Boondoggles and the Frontier Project. What's the thread that kind of goes throughout all your work right now?
Oh, man, I don't know if I have. I don't know if there is a thread. I kind of follow stuff that I'm interested in. And like I said, I sometimes my attention span isn't real long, and so I usually have a few things going on at once. I think, you know, issues of diversity and inclusion and innovation have always kind of spoken to me and continue to speak to me and attract my attention and just, you know, changing things for the better. I continue going back to the belief that I think that work is always going to be work, but I think that work can be, for a lot of people, I think it can be a lot better than what it is. And I'm committed to helping people and organizations find that out. And I think it can be, and it's not a, you know, I'm not actually a kumbaya kind of guy. I know people think that about me because I do a lot of diversity work. It's not that drives me. It's that I think that it actually, businesses can actually do better by evolving in some of these ways. So it's not just kind of a bleeding heart approach, but you know, I think that, I don't know. I don't know that I have a good answer for that. But I follow things that are of interest to me, and that takes me a lot of different places. I have a wide variety of interests.
Nice. Diverse.
Yes.
Yes. Let me ask from the Twitter sphere, the future of the Frontier Project, and some of this is, you know, you might not know, but this one in May might not have been on folks' radar. What do you see as in terms of the latter part of this year or an online community or anything that's after the event that happens in May?
Yeah, there will definitely be some stuff after the event. Like I said, this will be of unique value to the folks that are there, but we are also going to find ways to share this with the larger community. This is about the future of the body of work. And so we haven't sat down and figured all of that stuff out yet, but we will be sharing the outcomes of this with the greater world. And this is probably going to be an annual event. and will probably be an ongoing and evolving thing. But there will be things after this for folks that aren't involved in the actual event itself.
Nice. Another question from the Twitter sphere is the genesis. I don't think we touched on where did this idea come from?
Well, the methodology that we use, accelerated decision making, I've had experience with that for almost a decade, and we've always really liked that format. And Jason and I we've done things like this in a number of settings and around a number of issues, and we know that when you're trying to fix something or change something or catalyze something, that if you design a decent process and invite some smart and crazy people into it, that magic usually happens. And so this is an idea that we've been playing with for a couple of years, but this thing in general is something that we've done quite a few times together since we've known each other over the past 15 years.
Nice. Really quickly, the Frontier Project sounds fantastic, but I could also see from a perspective, and it also is probably from the outside looking in, it might be intimidating to folks because, again, it's not a conference, but people are probably going to have that in there as a frame of reference, have that in their mind, and at a conference you can just kind of mail it in.
Right.
You can just kind of sit in the audience and kind of hope that no one notices that you're playing Angry Birds. This is obviously not one of those deals. You can't hide.
Right.
And in some ways, you've got to talk, you've got to contribute, you've got to be a part of it. It kind of sounds like work.
Yeah,
so,
it will be work. You will probably be exhausted at the end of this. People that go through decision accelerators are generally exhausted at the end, but it will be exhausted in a good way. And so if people are a little bit intimidated by this, I think they've got a fairly accurate idea for what it is. It will be work. This is not something where you're going to be checked out for 45 minutes, checking on what's happening in the Twitter sphere. This is work. This is highly engaged, interactive, and facilitated work. And it's a two-day session. That first day will probably be very long, but the kind of the two takeaways at the end is that people are A, exhausted, and they love the process and they're really excited about the future. And so it's a good kind of work, and it's work with. It's work with a lot of people. It often brings people together that don't know each other, but people that are passionate about the same stuff. They're there because they care about some of the same stuff, because they care about the future. And so it's a really cool energy among the people involved. But yeah, this is going to feel very different than a conference. You're not going to be able to check out here. We need people that are going to roll up their sleeves and do work and be engaged in sometimes confusing and complicated and frustrating conversations, but those conversations take us to a pretty good place.
In my personal experience with things like this is the faster you can get to your vulnerabilities, the better. We all have an A game. We've all got our veneer up. We've all got the facade, and everyone's the smartest guy in the room or gal in the room, et cetera. And as fast as you can peel away all of that stuff go ahead.
I think that's the most important thing on the facilitator's side for this kind of thing. You've got to get past that quickly. Otherwise, we spend a lot of time, reciting our scripts and impressing ourselves with our expertise, and we just don't care much about any of that for this. This has to start with the stuff that we don't know about. It has to start with the stuff that we're curious about, that we have hopes about. Stuff that is different than the stuff that we know about today, so that's really kind of the key at the beginning to push beyond that. And in some groups, that happens pretty easily, and some groups not so much. But that's definitely key.
It sounds like you were talking about me, and I appreciate that. let's talk about the business. We've got about 5 minutes left. The business of the Frontier Project, if you don't mind. How are we doing in terms of signups? How does it look in terms of sponsorships? I mean, in my humble opinion, you should make money on something like this, and insofar at least break even on something like this, to where you shouldn't go poor trying to make the profession better. Period. End of story. So, if you don't mind, take us into the inside of just how things are going so far about getting the event off in May in a successful way.
Yeah, I think that we're off to a good start. I don't know the details on the registrations. Again, I'm not to be trusted with details. I know that we've got some registrations. I just don't know where we're at. I know that on the sponsor side, we have I think our original plan was just to seek out one or two sponsors, and what we've had was we started off with the Star Conspiracy and Quantum Workplace because we've got personal relationships there, and we think there's pretty good brand alignment with this project and those organizations. But since we started working with them, we've also had, I think we've got two or three other organizations that have come to us and said, this is pretty cool. We really want to be a part of this. You know, how do we go about being involved and support this and be a sponsor? And because we weren't really seeking out additional sponsors, we had to go back and give that some thought and figure that out. But that's a pretty good sign when people are coming to you and saying that they want to be a sponsor for this. On the registration side, I don't know where we're at on numbers, but I know that Jason and I continue to have conversations with people, you know, practitioners and people outside on the outside part of this that are interested in it and wanting to know more about it and talk through the details. So I think everything's moving in the right direction. Our approach to doing things is usually do stuff that we think is right and then try to find a way to make money at it. And I think usually that works out. But it's a new event, and, you know, it's there's no context, there's no expectations, and so sometimes it's hard for people to figure that out on the front end. But it's cool. It's at a great space. It's in a kind of a cooperative art gallery. And May is a pretty beautiful time to be in Omaha, and so we're excited about it. It's going to be a cool event, and I think it's something that'll have an impact, a far-reaching impact. So
this is a pre-College World Series, correct?
Yes, it is. College World Series will be about a month and a half after this. About a month after this, I guess.
Nice. Favorite bar in Fort Worth has a sign behind the bar that says, "Do right and fear no man." So there you go.
I like it.
Done. Drop the mic, walk off stage, folks.
Nice.
We've got about a minute and a half left. I think we've covered all the basics of the Frontier Project. I think the call to action for everyone that's listening is real simple. Even if you're not going to be there, you can't be there, conflict or whatnot. I think Chris Plunder's giving Daniel Crosby a bunch of stuff about moving around his schedule and attending the event, et cetera. And I think the thing is, you can make it or you can't make it. If you can't make it, you can still support it. So whatever we can do to leverage our combined networks.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, you still there?
One, two,
thanks, guys.